You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. And actually, Jason is out today, so it's just me. This won't be a regular numeric episode, but you definitely want to tune in next week because we'll be tackling a topic that is very front of mind and of a real issue in the real broken world that we live in, affected by sin and how that plays out in so many different ways. But today I want to talk about God. Of course, we're always talking about God on this podcast, but specifically I want to talk about our perception of God. You see, the big issue when it comes to perspective of God is it's a question that's very fundamental to our believing, to our trusting, to our accepting, and even to our walk with God, our ability to relate with God. Because we don't come to the table and just accept God for who he is. I mean, that would be great if that's how it worked. And certainly that invitation is there. You know, God's word reveals to us the character and nature of God. It reveals to us who God is and what he is. And of course, our option is to accept that or not accept that. But so often what happens is our perspective of God is so influenced by other things. I think an example of that is so often, you know, when somebody is hostile to the gospel or just chooses not to believe in God, whether they're hostile or not, they're not always hostile, but definitely don't always believe. And a lot of times when you break down that belief, what it ultimately comes back to is our perspectives as it relates to other things. An obvious example is, you know, the number one attribute that God describes himself as in the Word of God is that he is a father, and not just a father, but a loving father. And along with that comes prospective damage for us who live and walk in a broken world. And what do I mean by that? Well, for people who have had fathers that were not great or have had experiences that were not great, that comes to play in terms of how we view God. A great example of that is one of the leading apologists over the last, I'd say, 40 years or so is a guy named Josh McDowell. And Josh McDowell grew up in a home where his father was an alcoholic. His father was abusive to his mother. And his father also didn't protect him from an employee they had on their farm, who was regularly raping Josh McDowell until he was, I think, like 13 years old or something. So it was a significant abuse that went on over a long period of time. And he was very atheistic in his mindset. He did not believe God existed. He was not going to believe in Jesus Christ or the Christian faith or any of those kind of things. And what he came to realize over time was not that his issue was not with the truth of who God was or even the evidence of God that he could research and come to understand and know. His problem was the idea of God being a loving father. And that for Josh McDowell was a huge issue because he didn't have a loving father. He didn't know what it was to have a loving father. And as a result, then the idea of God, this eternal father, was not only not a welcome idea, it was a horrific idea. Josh McDowell's view or perspective was that dad was bad, awful. In fact, he hated his own father and hated, you know, that fatherly influence of the men around him because it wasn't good. And the result was that made it really hard to accept this idea of a loving God, a heavenly Father. And I think very often that is true more than we realize it's true. More often in our lives than we want to admit is true. That our perspective on life, our experience, our brokenness, even our trauma, all these things come into play in what we understand, what we see, what we perceive about God. And I can totally understand this as well. You know, I come from a broken home as well. I came from a fatherless home. My biological father was not ever engaged in my family, in my life, in the lives of my siblings. And where he was engaged, that wasn't a good thing. You know, he was abusive to some degree, not nearly as bad as some people experience, but certainly there was some physical abuse. You know, there was some other kinds of abuses. And just in general, you know, any interaction was not good. And so overall, you know, I didn't have the kind of extreme abuse that Josh McDowell experienced or that many people experience. And, you know, so we certainly don't want to degrade or downplay any of that. But yet, my perspective of a father was that they're really pretty useless. And I remember even telling people that, you know, there were times growing up where somebody would say to me, don't you miss having a father or not having a father? Do you feel the lack of that? And I remember thinking, no, like you don't need one. I mean, this is, they're really not useful. And yet that had a profound effect on my life, whether I recognized it or not, just like Josh McDowell. This view comes into play in so many different ways. And obviously, when we look to God, a Father, all of this stuff comes into play. When God declares himself to be a loving Father, that bumps up against, you know, this idea of whatever a father is based on our human experience, what, you know, a father does, what a father, even if, you know, a father is a good thing. And so we have to contend with this reality that when we come to thinking about God, when we come to considering who God is, what God has done, all of that kind of stuff, we have to at least stop and engage the question, what am I bringing to the table in my understanding of God? What am I imposing, maybe is the best way to say it, what am I imposing on my understanding of God and who God is? Because you have people that'll certainly come and they'll say, well, God is mean and he's violent and he doesn't love people. And, you know, even a lot of believers have this kind of mindset that God is mean, that God is vengeful. And they can legitimately be born-again Christians. They can be legitimately have turned their life over to Jesus Christ. But their perspective on God is not God is loving, that God is good, that God has my best and his glory in mind. It's just, you know, we have to obey God to be in right relationship with him, but also because, you know, he'll smack us if we don't, or he'll send us to hell if we're not a believer in Jesus. And that's a very flawed perspective on God. And I think it is born out of, you know, that those things that they have imposed on God. Yes, God is righteous. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God is just. All of that is true. But none of that is true apart from God being loving. I believe because God is loving, he is holy. Because God is loving, he is righteous. Because God is loving, he is just. You know, all of these things, they're all interconnected. You can't take one without the other. An example of that is, you know, we talked about this last week, how God has been slow, very slow, to deal with evil, giving people the opportunity to repent. You know, we talked about how he gave Israel 20 kings worth of time, which we didn't do the math on that, but it's a long, you know, that's a fairly long period of time. 20 kings, that's a number of generations. Of course, not all those kings served long reigns, but then you have other ones that served, you know, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. You have long reigns. So there was long period of time that God gave the people of Israel to repent. Same thing we saw with all the nations around Israel. God gave them, you know, 400 years plus four generations plus whatever it was from Abraham's, you know, lifespan all the way down to Israel. That's a long period of time to repent, to turn from their sins. And so we see the reality that even God's justice is not disconnected from God's love, from God's graciousness, from his generosity. And I think that's true in even dealing with people in relationship to their own sin. You know, God has provided a way. He's given us his own son. And yet, so many people won't even accept that. They won't even accept a free gift of God, that God dealt with the penalty of your sin. Yet, if you don't accept it, then you're still responsible for your sin. That is a very loving, gracious thing to do. So we have to recognize, first of all, when we come to the table, that our perspectives, what we impose about God, are going to have a profound impact on what we believe about God. And we see this played out literally all the time. I've heard it said many times that what we believe about God is the most important thing. And I believe that's true, because it very profoundly will affect not only how we see things, but also how we interpret the things we see. So I can read the Word of God and come away with a different perspective if I go into it with a particular mindset. And that can be a very damaging thing. It can also be a very good thing. If I go in with the right mindset of understanding who God is, letting God reveal himself to me, then I have a better chance of really getting to understand and know who God is. And if you think about that in a relational context, I mean, imagine if you were, let's say, to get married or have a friend, you're going to go into that. And if you go into it imposing what you believe about that person from the get-go, you may have a difficult time having a relationship with them. Think about those times where you decide you don't like somebody based on information you know about them before you ever meet them or something like that. And if you go into a relationship holding on to those ideas, what usually ends up happening is you don't have a very good relationship with that person, because you're not engaging them for who they are. You're imposing your idea, your preconceived notion on them. And the result is then you're getting a conclusion that is what it is. And it may not be right. And it may not be fair. And it may not really represent them. And I think this is very true in relationship to God as well. Our goal needs to reckon, you know, we have to recognize, okay, what brokenness am I coming to the table with that's going to get in the way of me being able to see God for who he is? And then deal with that to say, okay, I need to set this aside to an extent or work through it, you know, whatever that process is, so that I can then engage the Word of God to see God for who God is, to see God for who he reveals himself to be. And same thing, recognize that our brokenness affects even how we have relationship. You know, there's a whole line of thought on what's called attachment theory. If you're interested in that kind of thing, there's some really interesting books by Tim Clinton and many others that speak to this idea. I've recently been reading some of these books just because I find the concept really interesting. I not really sure where I'm at with all of it, but the concepts of our brokenness or our life experience, it affects the way we interact with other people. And that's what they call attachment style. What's your attachment style? And Tim Clinton, who is a believer in Jesus Christ, he's a psychologist and Christian counselor and is the leader. I think he's the president of the Association of Christian Counselors or something like that in this country. So pretty big, pretty big guy and pretty smart guy. And he writes, several of these books on attachment style. And one of them I ran across is the name of the book is called God Attachment, Why You Believe and Act and Feel the Way You Do About God. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So all the other books on this topic are about how we interact with other people, how we are with our friends and in our friendships, how we are in our romantic relationships and marriages and all that sort of thing. But this one is making the case that our attachment style actually affects even how we view, relate to, and interact with God. And so you have times, where you'll often be talking with somebody and they'll tell you like, oh man, I've never felt like God loved me. You're like, the evidence of God's love is profound and it's all over Scripture. I mean, the fact that he would send his one and only son, the second person of the Trinity, God very God, to die for us, like, that's powerful. I mean, just powerful. And you have so many other passages in relationship to that. I mean, one of those is, like, think of Romans 8. In Romans 8, verse 14, it says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. I mean, how profound is that? God is not just saving us from our sin. He's not just dealing with our sin. He's not just taking away the penalty of sin and being like, okay, I've paid your sin, now I put up with you, but that's it. No, that's not it at all. This God that we worship, that we serve, is a God who adopts us to be his kids. How crazy is that? That is so wild. That is like mind-blowing stuff. And Romans 8 doesn't even stop there, obviously. It goes on. It says in verse 31, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not even spare his own son, but offered him for us all. How will he not also with him grant us everything? Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more, has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than victorious through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers or height or depth or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That, my friends, is powerful stuff. Amazing stuff. The character and nature of God in full display, his love for us, that's nuts. And yet, so many of us say we can't feel God's love. so much of this has more to do with our brokenness than it does the God who's revealed to us in the Word of God. And one of the things we need to recognize is if we are going to have healthy relationship with God, we have to understand that reality. We have to understand that we are imposing on God things, and we're interpreting everything through the lens of our own brokenness, through the lens of our own attachment style. Basically, we see God how we see relationships, how we see people, how we see fathers, how we see, you know, whatever that particular thing is, that's going to get in the way of relationship with God. It's going to get in the way of God being able to just simply reveal himself to us. And so it means we have to do the hard work. If we want to have good relationship with God, if we want to have open relationship with God, if we want to have trusting relationship with God, then we got to recognize our brokenness and we got to work on that to keep that from getting in the way of how we see God, even how we see God feel about us. It has a profound effect. These things are all connected. So I know some of you may be sitting out there being like, well, this sounds like weird psychology stuff. No, it's not. This is simple logic. That which I believe is going to have a profound effect, not on the truth. The truth of God does not change. Who God is does not change. Who he's revealed himself does not change. How he works does not change. None of those things have changed, and none of this changes those factors, but it does affect how I relate to God, how I interact with God, how I understand God, and even how I trust God. So there's a big reason to really take this serious and really engage this topic, and that's, you know, if I don't feel the truth of God's word, then I got to ask myself, what is it that I'm really believing about God? Am I really allowing God to reveal himself to us? Because when I allow God to reveal himself to me, what I see is a God who is a loving father, a God who has been in perfect community, a God who has eternally been pouring out his love and life-giving nature, and the Son and the Spirit delighting that glory back to the Father, and creation born as a result of who that God is and what that God is doing, and even what that God wants to do in relationship to us. In the book Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis speaks to it this way in relationship to who is God, what does he want to do, and he compares it with, in the book Screwtape Letters, it's a older demon talking to a younger demon, and so the enemy in this book is God, and he says in this quote, the older demon is talking to the younger demon and pointing out the difference between who the demons are and what their work is versus who God is. And it says, one must face the fact that all this talk about his love for men and his service being perfect freedom is not, as one would gladly believe, mere propaganda, but an appalling truth. He really does want to fill the universe with a lot of loathsome little replicas of himself, creatures whose lives on its miniature scale will be qualitatively like his own, not because he has absorbed them, but because their will freely conforms to his. We want cattle that can finally become food. He wants servants who can finally become sons. We want to suck in, and he wants to give out. We are empty and would be filled. He is full and overflowing. What a beautiful picture of God versus the demons, versus the other things, the other idols, the other gods. all of them come to the table expecting something from you, wanting something from you, needing something from you. And then here is God who says, I love you to the point of sending my own son, the delight of God eternally for our sins so that we can be restored in right relationship with him. Like, my friends, that's a powerfully amazing, loving father. And if we're not seeing that, if we're not feeling that, then we need to get that perspective out of the way, that thing that we're imposing upon God, so that we can really see who God reveals himself to be.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.